You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and we're going to be in the book of Exodus today. We're going to be visiting Exodus chapter 15, and this is right after the children of Israel have been delivered from the Egyptians because of the Red Sea parting and closing, and they got over and their enemies did not. So we're going to be talking about that here today. But I want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. Something happened a few weeks ago, and that was when I got into the sanctuary for our Wednesday night service. It was comfortable. It was the temperature it was supposed to be. And then I got a message right before service, and they were telling us that there was a problem with one of the air conditioners, and that problem was showing up in one of our classrooms. And Dennis happened to be there that night, and Dennis pastors a church over in Geneva, and we're very thankful for his ministry and thank God for that church. But I said, is there any way I can schedule an appointment for you to come? And they sent one of their technicians out. They looked it over, got it all checked out. They made a slight modification to something. I had done some work beforehand and did everything I could to make sure the maintenance was in place. And I'm glad to tell you that on Sunday morning, even in the crazy Florida heat, we were comfortable again because Wyrick Air was able to resolve our issues. They have been doing things like that for approximately 50 years, primarily in residential settings, but do some light commercial settings as well. They even provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. I am thankful that Wyrick Air is who takes care of Merritt Assembly of God's air conditioning as well as my home air conditioning. I am thankful for Dennis and Carla and their team and their family. What a blessing it is to know them. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida. Their license numbers are CAC 182-1309. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. If you need to make sure that you've got an air conditioning company that you can trust, like I can trust the folks at Wyrick Air, they are a blessing, and we are thankful that they are friends of the Refresh Radio program. So yesterday, we were in Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we were talking about that God is our praise. We don't have anything to boast about except our relationship with God and the fact that he is praiseworthy. So today, we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 15, and we are going to look at verses 1 and 2. And so Exodus chapter 15, verse number 1 says this: Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. And so that's where we are going to stop for the reading right now. That's all we're going to have time for. You can read Exodus chapter 15. It is a great, great passage of Scripture. And I'll just start off today by saying this. If God has delivered you from something that was threatening to take you out, don't forget to praise the Lord. So here in verse number one, it says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. There's a lot of people who don't think that they can sing to the Lord. In this modern era, we tend to see priority given to those who have exceptional vocal capabilities. Sometimes there are people who don't necessarily have great vocal capabilities, but they can write songs. And because they can write them, they, you know, have doors that are open for them and things like that. But I want to tell you that you and I are called to sing to the Lord, sing praise to the Lord, not because of our ability to sing, but because of his ability to hear. I grew up in an athletic family. My son, when we first came to the church, it wasn't very long until a guy started attending our church, who was down here to try out for the Florida Marlins. And, they used to have their training camp over in Vieira, and he was down here to try out, and it was going to take a couple of years before they got up and running and things like that. He was coming to the church, had great baseball ability, went on. He's actually written a book, a really detailed book on the book of Jude, I believe it is. And I still remember his name to this day. But one of the things that I remember was he was teaching my son how to play baseball, and he was teaching him how to hit. Now, I could teach him how to throw some and catch some. In fact, my son has had a stronger arm. He had a stronger arm at 11 than I ever did in my entire life. And somebody must have taught him someplace, or God just inherently gave him that gift. But that's the type of family I grew up in. We grew up a sports family. We ended up with a son who, had a rather unfortunate experience in one of the sports that he played, and he ended up, when he went to middle school, signing up for the band. And the teacher said, this is the instrument I would like you to play. And he said, well, I'd like to play this other instrument. And she said, well, if you ever want to go to college on a scholarship, and he said, I do. She said, then you need to play this instrument because your ability to get a scholarship is better if you play this than it is if you play the trumpet. And he said, okay, sounds good. So we got to start listening to our son playing the French horn. Before we knew it, because we had an ear to the instrument our son was playing, we would begin to notice that instrument when it showed up in movies or TV shows. It's like, ah, that's the French horn. It wasn't that the movie industry said, hey, we're going to create something that Bob will listen to. Instead, it was because my ear was tuned to what was going on in my child's life, and I was able to pick up on what I could relate to him about. When we praise the Lord, it's not about our singing ability. I mean, the Bible tells us we can make a joyful noise. I do believe that we should prepare, we should practice, we should try and operate with a spirit of excellence. But it's God's ability to hear because of what's going on in our heart that really makes praise and worship so spectacular. So I want to encourage you, do not restrict your praise and worship because you think you can't carry a tune in a bucket. You may not be able to, but God's ability to hear is not on your ability to sing, but on the attitude of your heart to worship. So praise the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. You know, football season is right around the corner, and I've got some family members who are really excited about that. And whenever my team is playing, I root for them as if no lead is safe because I have seen them blow some really large leads before. So I have this mindset, and that is if I'm going to compete, I don't want to barely eke out a victory. I want it to be domination. And the truth of the matter is that we can sing praise to the Lord because of how gloriously he has triumphed, and it is not just over, he didn't just squeak out a victory. It was a glorious victory, not over meager enemy, but on the greatest military force on planet Earth at that point in time. Verse number 2 says this, the Lord is my strength and song. The Lord is my strength and song. So praise God that strength is not based upon who I am. Instead, it's all based upon the fact that God is my strength. His omnipotence manifesting in my finite body to enable me to have strength that is exterior to my giftings, but it's innate to God's giftings. The Lord, my strength, my song. I have this song that I wrote during a time of prayer some 30 some years ago. You're never going to hear it on your Christian radio station or anything like that. It's a song between me and God. Whenever I am going to spend a prolonged period of time, that song is probably going to show up at some point in time because it talks about me and my desire to enter the presence of the Lord with singing, with humility. And, it's a song that doesn't really mean much to anybody else, but it means something to me. And therefore, it means something to God. And about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, something like that, I found myself wanting to sing that song. And it had been a while since I sang that song. And I was like, I'm struggling to remember my song. I eventually got there. I worked my way through it. I could remember one section, and then from that, it enabled me to remember another section and another section and another section. And pretty soon I was able to sing it again. And I do believe that many of us fail to realize that we have a song due to our relationship with God. It causes our hearts to break out. Listen, I don't think the birds sing just because they want to irritate people of a morning. I believe there's a reason why they have the song that they chirp out every day. And you and I do. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. I believe that there's a song that we should sing, and that song comes from God. It's how we praise Him. It says, He is my strength, He is my song, He is become my salvation. And so we should thank God for all three of those S's. We should thank Him that He is our strength. We should praise Him for our song. We should praise Him for salvation. It says there, He is my God, and I will praise Him. There has to be some intentionality to praise. Don't delegate that to someone else. Make sure that you do what you are supposed to do. Don't forget that God has triumphed gloriously, not just in Israel's battles, but in your battles. So I told people for a long, long time that from my family's experience growing up, I always felt like it was a miracle that any child survived to adulthood. You know, they have car seats now that are, you know, amazing. When I was growing up, a car seat was something that was strapped in by a lap belt, and it was basically a wire cage that they set you in that, you know, would hopefully keep you in place should there be a collision. But it was the openings were pretty generous. You know, I see kids, they get strapped in now, and man, they can't hardly move. We had a pretty generous range of motion in those early car seats, and I think those were only optional. I don't think they were mandatory. I could be wrong about that. But it was more of a luxury that became a requirement at some point in time. And so I've always felt like it was a miracle. Me and my siblings all had situations where any one of us could have died. And I've also come to realize here lately, with interactions between our kids and our grandkids, that sometimes it's a miracle that we adults have survived children. So I was up visiting one of my kids, and their kids had been sick, and they'd been up all night. The whole family of adults were just barely hanging on by a thread that day, because one of the kids had been extremely unhappy in the middle of the night, very, very young, probably dealing with growing pains or, you know, a virus or something that was going around. But they weren't happy, and all of the adults were suffering because of what was going on with this child. Praise God, you're still here. You know, sometimes just being present is a praiseworthy event. So when my kids were little, I tried my best to attend all of their games, all of their concerts, all of those things. There's one that I missed that I have great regret about. It was something I'd committed myself to fulfilling an obligation, and then at the last minute, one of my children's schedule got changed to where a very important night in their life got moved up at the last minute and conflicted with something that I was out of town. And I was like, I am not happy about missing this event, because I want my children to remember that I was present for them in the biggest moments of their life. So praise God for that. He is my God, and I will praise him. Verse number 2 concludes this way: my Father's God, and I will exalt him. I want to praise God for generational relationship with him. Now, I don't know where you fit in that spectrum. I can tell you that my mother was raised in an Assembly of God church. I can tell you my dad was raised in a Baptist church at times. I don't know where you may have not ever been part of a congregation of faith at all. You might not have been raised that way. We see a trend in society that is moving more in that direction, but we're also at this point in time seeing a surge in young people and young adults who are looking for an environment of faith. They are looking for a relationship with God. At the same time, we're looking at people wanting to move away from absolute truth and move into relative truth. So there is this really strong convergence, excuse me, of people with very different spiritual realities. Some wanting to know God, some wanting to define their relationship with God on their own terms, and some people not having anything to do with God at all. So I don't know where you fit along the spectrum. But if you've never had the privilege of being raised in a household of faith, be the person who breaks that stronghold and starts a new trend. Here, Moses' song was this: I praise the Lord because he's my Father's God. Now, you could go back here and you could talk about that God was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You could talk about that he was the God of Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Manasseh and Ephraim and Zebulun and Gad and Dan and all of the tribes, Asher, that he was the God of all of those. And you can talk about that he was the God of the people before they went into Egypt and before they went into bondage. But as I was preparing for this, I was captivated by the fact that it says my Father's God, and I looked at it as the generation that endured bondage, that endured hardship, that had grown up with their children being threatened. I find it history, if you look back in world history, anytime God was getting ready to do something great in the spiritual timeline of event, there was a threat to children's lives. And so could we be on the threshold of a monumental event spiritually because the enemy is targeting a generation that God's going to use to do mighty things for him? It could very well be. And in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the threats to their children, the misery and the hardship and the whips of the taskmasters, there was one thing that Moses' parents did not overlook, and that was making sure they passed on faith to the next generation and recognizing that God was praiseworthy, not just in the good times, but in the bad times. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. When I have a time to praise the Lord, that I want to make sure I get the most out of it, out of me that I can, to exalt him. One of the songs that I will sing is "I Exalt Thee." I remember being introduced to that song in Bible college. I remember hearing Phil Driscoll make an album that featured that song. Phil Driscoll really didn't have a great vocal voice, but he had a great ability to play the trumpet. And I remember that album that he had that featured "I Exalt Thee." So, like I said before, I don't know where you are on the generational spectrum. I happen to be a family that had a relationship with God, and we wanted to take that relationship with God to the next level. And since then, my kids' generation, they are taking it, and we're thankful that all of them are serving the Lord. I'm also thankful that all of my family, my siblings, my dad, my mom when she was alive, they all were praising God. In fact, my mother praised God in the latter years with greater effect than in some of her early years. And those latter years were filled with tremendous physical challenge. What I want you to see in this passage is, yes, thank God for spiritual victories, but don't forget that sometimes we may be the trendsetter that praises God in the most difficult of seasons. Praise him in the difficult times. Praise him in the good times. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."